Welcome to the first episode of You Heard It Here with your host, me. I'm Ken Kaplan and Phil Worthington.
Yes, that's me. Wow, I need to adjust my mic a little bit. There we go.
There you go.
Woo, yes, that's me. Hey, we should have called it take three because, believe it or not, although we've done, what, 1,000 podcasts over the years, this was like take three.
Yeah, it was take three. Well, you know.
What a nightmare.
That's right. Well, it's a new show. And
that's why I was so confused trying to run things.
That's right. Yeah, it wasn't part of the regular routine that we're used to. But to give you a little intro, each episode, we're going to go over news and stories that we find entertaining, interesting, newsy, worth commenting on. Sometimes we'll be stories that are very serious and not funny at all, and sometimes there'll be just things we find wacky and we want to talk about. This is basically what we want to talk about.
Whatever comes to our mind.
Well, no, we can't do that.
Oh, you know what I'm... Oh, yeah, valid point. Valid point.
Otherwise, we'd have to make it X-rated immediately.
Yeah, there would be some bad things about that. I was going to say, you know, sometimes it might be snippets. Sometimes it might be a long, long in-depth conversation. Yes. I'm struggling with words today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I screw the board up right away, it throws my whole first 5 minutes off.
I know it does.
That's why you should run the board. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, that's settled. Yay.
There you go. Okay, I can do that. Anyway, so what we're going to do is we'll do some stories and we'll comment on them and be a little bit of exchange between the two of us. And
maybe.
maybe we'll have nothing to say.
If it gets really quiet, then you know one of us is not happy with the story.
But it's not. These are going to be you know, little bits. It's a news program. I'll just admit it is a news program, but we'll call it news and commentary.
I like that. Okay. News and commentary. For those of you, if this is your first time hearing Ken and myself, Ken and I, Ken and me.
Ken and myself will work.
Ken and myself. That's why I said myself. I thought that would work. Mm-hmm. Ken is actually fluent in English and I'm not. But we have done a motorcycle show for the last, what, five, six years together?
Yeah.
You know, so we're kind of used to each other. You'll see that sometimes we'll jump around a little bit and people be like, but that's just because we've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And we've both done a lot of different types of shows and stuff. So.
And you'll also find out that our opinions aren't what I would call mainstream.
Probably not mainstream. No. And our sense of humor is kind of warped, just in general.
More than kind of.
Kind of warped. We laugh at things that some people find horrific or horrifying and
that is
bad.
True.
We also do other things on side business, like crime consulting. You know, sometimes it might be like, hey, dummy, you did this wrong.
Right.
So that's where we're kind of going.
And we are, if you're looking for politically correct, turn it off now.
Yeah, definitely not politically correct.
Right. So I'll kick things off, and I'll do my first story, which I thought was kind of entertaining and kind of weird, and I'm not quite sure how this happens, but Oregon lottery winner took more than 3 months to claim his 6.4 megabucks jackpot.
I'm pretty sure everybody over there is rich. That's why they call it the Gold Coast.
The Gold Coast?
Well, I mean, what's $3 million or $6
million? $6.4
million.
Yeah.
Chump change. Plus, in Oregon, after taxes, what does that work out to? 40 bucks?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, you know, 3 months to claim a jackpot, I thought was a little long. I mean, if I won $6.4 million, I'd be at their door when they open the next day.
Or you'd be in the hospital because of the heart attack.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the worst thing about winning a lotto is I'm afraid that I would not make it to my front door.
Yeah, that is true. I do have this big karma thing that I worry about. We just talked about that the other night, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
But this particular lucky guy had a good reason for being late.
He was in jail.
No, he lives in Iraq.
Oh. Are they allowed to win American Lotto?
Well, that's part of the story.
Ooh, that's okay.
That's part of the story. The man cashed in on December 1st at the lottery headquarters in Salem, Oregon. According to a lottery spokesman, he elected to take his millions in 25 annual installments of $256,000 minus taxes. But he doesn't live in Oregon, so I don't know. I guess they take the taxes no matter what, even if you live overseas.
Yeah, you know, Lotto's kind of crooked.
Yeah. So he's going to be getting that money for 25 years.
They actually
don't have
the money.
Personally, I think if you live in Iraq, you take it all today and run. Because if you're going to take it, the chance that you're going to live 25 years in Iraq is pretty slim anyway. What's going on in the Middle East?
See, I was thinking a lot of people screw up and take the money all at once. And you always get less.
Yes, you always get less. You pay
at $250 large in Iraq. You're pretty much boss hawk.
It is, but you know what happens if your ISIS comes in and takes you out in a month, which is all
okay,
I'd expect.
You say transfer it to my bank account in Iraq, and then you go live in a civilized country.
Okay,
with police and borders and stuff. You don't have to be in Iraq.
Well, okay, that's fine. Then that's the first thing I would do. I would get.
Right. I mean, I'm thinking $250 a large in Australia, New Zealand.
In most countries, you could live. I mean, I hate to say this, but there are places in the U.S. where you can live pretty well on $256,000.
Yeah, but if he's Iraqi, he's probably not welcome in those places. I mean, realistically.
Welcome? You're wrong. Obama would import him.
Oh yeah, well, okay. he'd get a tax. What he should be doing is filing for refugee status,
right?
And be like, they're going to try and tax my money,
right?
You know?
Right. Although the lottery in Oregon generally prohibits winners from remaining anonymous, officials have honored the man's request to keep his identity secret because the winner is concerned about his safety back home.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I got $250,000. Oh, yeah.
Every year.
I could hear the doorbell ringing right now. ISIS calling, you know.
Every year, too. It's
every year.
So they're just going to torture him and keep him locked in a basement because if he's dead, you don't get it.
But only one day a year.
Yeah.
the rest of the year, I'll leave you alone.
He gets to answer the door.
Right, exactly.
The rest of the time, he's chained to a pole in the basement.
That's right.
Wow.
Quote, he made it very clear that the amount of money he had won would certainly put him and his family in harm's way, you think?
Yeah, obviously.
The winner bought the ticket for the August 24th drawing through an online lottery agent based overseas. Did you know there was such a thing?
I did not know this.
Yeah. Bauman said, it's his educated guess that the agent has people deployed across the world who go into retailers and buy lottery tickets. He said its employee for Oregon Games must be in Bend, Oregon, the city where the winning ticket was purchased, or drove there. I mean, you know, whatever.
Right.
They gave the winning numbers out, but they don't do any good now. He said he asked the man who came to pick it up, to collect the money, how he chose them. Remember, this isn't the guy that actually bought the ticket.
Right.
This is the agent. And the man's English, though wasn't bad, he couldn't provide an answer in there. He just covered his eyes with his arm and poked at numbers in the air. Yeah, because I didn't choose him. But he probably did go in there and just buy, you know, a random
quick pick.
Yeah, quick pick.
I haven't chosen my own numbers in Lotto.
Because it doesn't work.
Since I was a kid.
Yeah, I tried that. I probably
shouldn't admit to buying underage Lotto tickets,
right.
But whatever.
But that never works. It only works in, you know, if you you live in Appalachia and you buy it at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Then they'll say like, yeah, well, you know, it's my eight children's in there.
I had a friend whose parents won twice.
I know. I hear stories like that, and I can't figure that out.
I also...
Were they quick picks? Do you know they're quick picks?
The first time wasn't. The second time was.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, they were... I'm going to say they were small compared to what some of the jackpots gets, but I think it was like $3.6 million and then like $8.3 million.
Yeah, that's big enough for me.
And then I know this girl who I'm good friends with. Her mother won on a quick pick for, I think, 10.2 in Connecticut.
Yeah.
And that was
Were these friends?
Yeah, all of them.
And you got nothing. That's not a friend.
Yeah.
That's not a friend. Could you at least got a...
I got a bunch of
Corvette
free drinks.
Or something out of it?
No, I wasn't that good of a friend.
Oh, so just a few drinks.
Yeah, I was. I wasn't that good of a friend.
Yeah,
I'm just going to leave
clearly,
it
clearly. Why wouldn't the person who bought the ticket in Oregon...
Tell the person in Iraq.
You lost, right?
You know what? I have a set of lotto tickets. Most of my family's from New York. I'm living in Virginia. And one of my cousins came down over the summertime, and Powerball was like $580 million or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he bought tickets while he was down here because he was like this. They're still sitting... I could have won. They're still sitting on the dashboard of my truck. Well, in the sun visor. And I was like, oh, I should probably check those. And then I was like, but do I tell my cousin? You know, like, if they want, like, he has an axe.
Right. I mean, this guy, I'm thinking this guy who worked for this lottery agent, whatever, could have just quit his job, cashed the ticket, and, you know.
Peace out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, move to the Caribbean somewhere.
One of the things that I always do, and we bought tickets one time. Remember, it was like $600 million?
Uh-huh.
I always usually take a photo of the tickets and send them to the other people
right.
involved. Right. And if I do that, I require that. Like, you want me to chip in, you got to send me pictures of the tickets.
Yeah.
You know, so that I have the numbers, so that ain't none of this, you disappearing with my moolah.
Right, stuff. Right, right.
So, but yeah, that's kind of, so maybe they did something like that where he actually had to. Did the Iraqi maybe. Guy tip? Like, I didn't know this. This shows you how broke I am.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Like, most people who win lotto tip the person they bought the ticket off of. Like, well, at the 7-Eleven.
Yeah, but
like,
I don't,
they give them like 10 grand.
See, I don't get that because, like, in the Virginia lottery.
Mm-hmm.
If the store that sells the winning ticket gets like 100 grand.
Right.
Listen, that's a pretty
good
tip.
I don't get it because it's not like I don't tip the guy at 7-Eleven if I get an extra
There's no
bean
hair in my hot dog, right?
You know?
Like, hey, no hair today.
Wow. Hey, it wasn't a roach crawling out of the sandwich I went to buy.
Right.
You know, or I got an extra drag off the cigar
yeah.
or.
Yeah. There's no, I'm,
you know, the Coke Zero wasn't stale. Here, I have 5 grand.
I'm not tipping the store.
Yeah. I'm pretty much not either. I'll be the guy that makes the newspaper as the jerk who didn't tip.
Yeah. So they must have, whoever's doing this must have some sort of checks and balances so somebody can't just walk off with a ticket, you know?
Yeah.
So whatever. The man whose win was first reported by a local newspaper is believed to be the first person from outside the U.S. to win the Oregon Megabucks jackpot. The lottery said the lottery has no restrictions on foreigners winning prizes or buying tickets through an online agent. However, quote, there are federal laws that apply to internet gambling that don't apply to the Oregon lottery.
Oh.
So that's kind of interesting. He said, we have no rules about that because we don't sell online.
Oh,
since the lottery doesn't sell online, then they don't have any rules against that. So I'm not quite sure about that. But if you bought the tickets through an internet system, and technically it's against the law in the federal government because that's all the online poker got blown up because of that, you know?
Huh. That's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird, but he's got the money, so...
If he's got them, take the money and run. Maybe that's why he doesn't want to
well,
move to
he's
a
in
state.
Well, he's in Iraq. You better keep on running, right?
I didn't mean take the money and jock.
Yeah, that's right.
That was take the money and run. You know, there's got to be someplace safe over there, like... probably not. Never mind.
Is there someplace safe in Iraq?
I was trying to think of even a neighboring country that would be safe to live in, and I got nothing.
There's no place safe over there.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think there's any place safe in the Midwest.
Especially like, hey, you're the guy
with... you know what?
You're the guy with the great Satan's cash.
Actually, you know what's probably a pretty safe place to be? Is actually probably one of the United Arab Emirates states, like Qatar or something like that.
Maybe.
You know, because they have, you know, that kind of money's nothing to over there because you got all the oil sheiks.
That's true.
I mean, they'd be pocket change.
Right. They'd
guys.
Be like, hey, broke guy, go get my car.
Yeah.
You'd be like a valet there.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you make? $250? That's what I tip my valet.
Yeah. $256,000 wouldn't cover, you know, the cars they sell on a daily basis in
right,
you know, Doha Qatar or something. So, but I mentioned a guy in Iraq. For all we know, this guy could have been a goat herder before this. And you get $256,000.
Or he could have been like a rich dude and it's not. Yeah.
He could be, and maybe that's why
he
wants to keep quiet.
Well, no, because he said he was worried about his security.
Yeah, that could be part of the cover story, though.
It could be cover story.
Right?
Oh, my God.
The guy
what,
could
if
be
it, what if ISIS
One?
Is buying, what if ISIS is
oh,
buying
wow.
tickets to get funded? Then we'd have to drop bombs on Oregon.
That's okay. I'm in favor of that anyway. Yeah, even without a lot of... Take the story away, and I'd say bomb Oregon.
I'm totally down with that. I'm just saying. How screwed up is that lotto could be funding... terrorism.
I mean, that's a little scary, isn't it?
I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's a little
I don't
scary.
Know nothing about the guy, and I'm not saying everybody from Iraq's a terrorist.
Okay, but we're thinking
I
that.
Said everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not saying it, but I definitely...
Well, I was going to say, it's probably a pretty big club.
Yeah, it's a big club, you know, so, wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so anyway, real quick before we run out to a break, I did want to just comment on one quick thing that I ran across online, and then we'll head out to break. And that is, I came across a story where, I guess, finally, after many years, Antonio Banderas and Melanie Griffith are now finally divorced, which I thought happened decades ago.
I didn't know they were married.
Oh, you didn't know that Antonio Banderas and Melanie Griffith were married? Oh, I knew that. It was a long, long time ago, but you got to think that Melanie Griffith and is probably pretty well healed. She comes from an entertainment family. Her family was Piper.
Peter Griffith?
No, Peter Griffith. No, I think her mother was a famous actress. Piper Laurie, I believe, was her mother.
Oh, really?
I believe so.
I'm so out of the showbiz.
Yeah, I know. And everybody knows who Antonio Banderas is. He's Zorro, right?
Zorro.
He's Zorro. So, but in the final of the divorce, and they had no kids together, the two of them. So they're married like 14 years, I believe. Wow. No kids or anything like that. And the settlement on the divorce, he has to pay Melanie Griffith $65,000 a month in spousal support.
Does he have that much more money than her?
Well, I can't imagine that. She was much more successful in Hollywood.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had some big movies.
Oh, yeah.
Not that Zorro wasn't big.
No, he wasn't.
You know what? Isn't Antonio Banderas, isn't he also the Shrek money? Wasn't he Puss in Boots?
But so is she. She did voices in Shrek, too. Yeah, she's done a lot of voice work.
Wow.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I don't know.
There's a lot of merchandising that goes with Puss in Boots.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if he gets any of the merchandising money. All I know is that just seemed, I saw that and I thought, wow, he's got to pay her $65,000 a month until she remarries, which is probably not very likely since she's 90
Why?
Now.
If you got, and his net worth is only like $45 million.
And I imagine hers is probably up there.
Hers is $20
million. Okay, she's got $20 million. Why does he have to give her spousal support at all? She can't live the remaining 4 years of her life on $20
million? Yeah.
She's already had plastic surgery 4 times. I'm sure he paid for that.
Oh, my gosh. She looks horrible.
Yeah.
I just pulled up a picture of her.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe she needs the loot because she needs some more. She just needs to buy. She needs to buy somebody younger and just have them be her.
Get a body transplant.
Get a body double for life.
Yeah, and she was pretty hot when she was.
She
younger.
Was.
Yeah.
She was like, woo.
Yeah, the years haven't been good to her, but apparently Antonio Banderas has been. $65K a month, Phil.
A month.
That's $750,000 a year.
Wow.
For nothing. She gets nothing for that.
Man, I'm an idiot.
He doesn't get even a handy for that.
nothing. Wow.
And no kids. See, if they had kids, I could see it.
Right. If they had kids, I could be like, you know, college is going to cost some money.
Yeah, college.
Drug
you
rehab.
You pay for it.
Because celebrities' kids always end up in drug rehab.
I mean, Phil, you get each month you open the mail. Each month you open the mail up and you get a $65,000 check in the mail every month. And that is spousal support, so it's tax-free.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would marry a rich person just to
technically. She won a bigger lottery than the guy from Iraq.
That's true.
Yeah.
She makes out better. He's getting screwed.
Yeah.
He should have married Antonio Banderas. It'd have been easier.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. So anyway, I saw that and I thought, why
that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's paying her anything, but so I'm sure she probably got the mansion. You know, I'm sure she did.
She got the gold mine. He got the shaft. Jerry Reed said that.
Yeah.
You know, Ken.
Yeah.
When we get back.
Yeah.
I was thinking I might talk a little bit about gambling. We talked about gambling, so I got a gambling thing.
Okay.
I want to talk a little bit about when we get back. I read the time on the clock wrong. So that's why I was pushing you and rushing you, and I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I looked over, and it's just been so long. It's been since Tuesday.
It's been since
I sat here.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm just a dummy. We'll be back in a few. And we're back here on You Heard It Here.
You Heard It Here.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't remember when we went out to break the name of the movie that she was in, that like post-apocalypse movie that Melanie Griffin was. Cherry 2000. Do you remember that movie?
I do remember that.
With that funny, funky Mustang she drove.
Yeah.
And she was like this bounty hunter for like porn bots or something.
And she was hot back then.
She was. I was like, wow. That's just crazy. I mean, she was in a lot of big movies. Working Girl was huge.
Yeah.
I'm just shocked with all the stuff she's been in that's all the money she's made.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she made some bad investments.
I guess so. Or maybe it's expensive being rich.
It is expensive being rich.
I wouldn't know. Yeah, right. I wouldn't know. Ken and I, we both like sports. You know, we kind of actively follow a bunch of different sports.
Yeah, as long as there's a sofa and a television.
Right. You know, yeah. I mean, going out and sitting out in that weather and stuff, it's a little ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, but we watch a bunch of sports. And the biggest sports, and people always say, oh, football's a huge monster and baseball's big. And why isn't NASCAR as big as those? It's because you can't gamble on it. Gambling has built sports. Football wasn't huge till they started betting on it. Baseball wasn't really huge till you start betting on it. Even hockey's getting bigger now that they got these daily fantasy leagues that you can bet.
Right.
But apparently, some things are going to start changing. And a huge hit came to these daily fantasy leagues today. It was just announced that New York State will join Arizona, Iowa, Louisiana, Montana, Nevada, and Washington as states where this daily, what they call daily fantasy sports, is going to be illegal. So you can't do that like bet day-to-day, right, like DraftKings.
Right, right.
I'm singling them out because they're the biggest name out there.
Right.
Where you do, you bet daily on like players or games, you bet head up and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's been some investigations going on into the corruptions.
Right.
But also the games of chance and stuff, and they're saying that that's not skill, it's chance. Like in New York, you're allowed to, you can, quote, gamble on skilled games. Wager on skill.
Right, like horse racing.
Right, yeah. But you can't wager on things that are chance. So, you know, this
you mean like slot machines?
Yeah, right. You got to go to the reservations to play on slot machines.
Right.
But this is kind of huge. I mean, Arizona, Iowa, Louisiana, Montana, Nevada, Washington, they probably all have the population of what? One county in New York? If they're lucky?
Well, the metropolitan counties, that's true. But yeah. There's some pretty...
Oh, yeah. I just mean that...
Easily.
There's a bunch of people in New York, and there's a bunch of gambling fiends in New York.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that gamble nonstop. There's Jet fans, and they don't have nothing to root for in life because their life is miserable because they're Jet fans.
Until they play the Giants.
Thanks for the low blow there. Yeah. But this is kind of huge. This is like a big... I'll tell you, over Thanksgiving, I went up and I saw my father, and we had a conversation, and... He says, I don't understand how come baseball doesn't allow Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame considering it's sponsored by DraftKings.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And it's like, I agree. You know, we were watching something and it was like this season on DraftKings, you know, MLB, and it was like, oh.
Yeah, but they've allowed betting, where they have legalized gambling on baseball for a lot of years. I think the problem was
that Pete Rose
he was in baseball betting. That was the thing, is that he was a manager of a team when he was betting.
Yeah, I still don't know if that's...
Well, I don't think it's that big a deal either.
I don't either.
I think as long as you don't bet against your team as a manager, I'm okay with it. You bet against your team, then it's you got to question whether that person threw a game. But that wasn't the case with him.
Right. So, but I mean, I just think that's kind of huge. You know, DraftKings sponsors half of major sports now.
Yeah, it'll cost them, but, you know, they're making so much money. I read somewhere that these places are making over $20 million a week.
Yeah, but you're taking, that's a huge, well.
Well, so if they take $6 million a week out of them because they lose these states in there, I think they're getting so much airplay. You could just tell that. They're getting so much television play.
And everybody thinks, I mean, the best thing about these things is they're really smart. They're like the nickel slots that old people go to at the reservation.
Exactly.
You know, they'll play all day because they think that nickel will win me $40.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And they lose $50 trying to win 40.
Right.
You know, it's like scratch-off tickets.
Exactly.
Who wins on scratch-off tickets? Nobody.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, but
I've won on scratch-off tickets. I buy 20 scratch-off tickets.
Win a
dollar. I spend $20. I win a dollar. I won.
Yay, hooray. And that's where these things are. They're just like, because every idiot, just like every idiot out there saying, I could do a sports radio show.
Yeah, right.
Every idiot is out there saying, I could manage that team. I never play fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy hockey, fantasy anything. Well, that's sports related.
Yeah, right.
They sit there and they all think, I can manage that team better. And if I draft it and I can do, I know people that take off work for their football draft.
Wow.
You know, for their fantasy league football draft. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that this is something that, I don't know if it matters. Do I really care?
If people are doing this?
Like, I don't understand why
the state cares. How is it any worse than buying a New York State lottery ticket?
Right. I mean, that's my...
Seriously.
Like a scratch-off.
Your chances of winning the New York State lottery are probably even worse than winning something on DraftKings, right?
Right. I mean, DraftKings, you could go and bet against the Jets most weeks
mm-hmm.
and win.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of Jets fans. So maybe DraftKings was like, you got to roll this way, we're losing.
Do they have a category where you can bet on the Giants losing the game in the last 5 minutes?
If they did, you'd be rich.
You'd be rich.
You'd be filthy rich.
Right.
You know, the Giants make a bet. Like, I used to have somebody gave me this football gambling game called Pigskin Football. And it had, like, next play will be this. If there had been a category for Giants will mismanage the clock, I would have won every time I played that. I don't know what. It's a huge hit to their industry, I think, because New York State's a big state. And usually what happens in New York ends up happening in Maryland and California.
Oh yeah.
Because they're all kind of the same state.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the federal government.
Like, that's where it's looking bad for them. Not so much that they can't afford to lose one state.
Oh, I think they're going to lose everything.
Yeah, that's what I think's coming.
This is going the same road as the internet poker is going.
Yeah.
Where it's going to become illegal all over the United States.
Right, and then there's going to be And to me, that's worse because then there's a bunch of guys who have got money in there, and it's completely gone.
Well, I just don't get that. I mean, how many states in the last 20 years have changed their laws to allow gambling?
A bunch.
We got casinos that have popped up in like a third of the country now. When it used to be like, first it was just Vegas, then it was Vegas and Atlantic City. Now you could gamble in about 20 states,
well,
right?
First it was Atlantic City, then it was Vegas.
Well, yeah, okay. Legally, it was a Vegas.
No, I think they've been gambling legally in Atlantic City for a long time, haven't they?
I know. I think they've been gambling in Vegas legally. Gambling, I think, that took place in Atlantic City back in the 20s and the 30s was not legal.
Oh.
Of course, there wasn't much they did that was legal in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Watch Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire will show you pretty much whatever, if you had the cash, whatever you want.
Right.
In Atlantic City was actually legal.
Right. But they've never had gambling laws in Nevada, ever.
Yeah.
So I just
think that this is, I kind of feel like this is a big story because this could really hurt that. And what I see happening is it hurting pro sports. And I like watching pro sports.
Well, why do you think it'll hurt pro sports?
There's a lot of people that root for losers. Like, say you live in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
You know your football team's never going to win a championship.
Right.
Your hockey team hasn't won a championship in years.
Mm-hmm.
Your baseball team will never win a championship.
Right.
So what do you have nothing to be proud of? I'm just totally trashing Detroit right now.
Yeah, really.
So you pretend that you know better, and I could make this better, and you build this team, and it gives you something to cheer for. Like, I don't get into fantasy football because I'm a Giants fan, mm-hmm. and I really don't give a rat's ass what Drew Brees does on
right,
some other team.
Right, right.
And I don't ever want to have to sit there where me making $100 means I got to root against my Giants because we're playing that quarterback.
No, I agree with that. But here's the thing. They're saying that it's a game of chance. There's no skill involved. That's why they're outlawing it in New York, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what the decision is.
But here's the thing. Explain to me how the New York State Lottery is not a game of chance.
Yeah.
It's a pure game of chance, right?
That's what I thought.
No, it is a pure game of chance. Unless you are somehow metaphysically tied to ping pong balls, it is a game of chance. Okay?
Yeah.
Right? So it's a game of chance. I don't know how they can say it's only legal if it's a game of skill when they have a lottery in the state, which is a game of chance.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, I hope they fight it. I hope they fight it. But here's the thing. I'm not opposed to anybody. I think they should be legalized gambling in every state.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to throw your money away,
I'd turn this studio.
I think you should have a right to do it. You earned it, right? It's your money.
I would turn this studio into a slot machines room in a heartbeat.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a bunch of old retired people come in here smoking Pall Malls and stuff like that. Just put a quarter in. 1957 is when they legalized gambling in Atlantic City.
Right.
So is that before or after? Oh, that's about the same time as Atlantic City, right?
What, 1957 was Atlantic City?
Yeah, but that's also the same year they re-legalized gambling in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City versus Nevada, which has never had any gambling law.
Right, but...
They had legalized gambling.
Las Vegas wasn't there.
You know, no, Las Vegas was always there. It was just a little sleepy town before like the late 40s.
Okay.
But the thing about it was Atlantic City was a complete dump until...
was?
Well, I mean,
you used the word was worse. Like it changed.
It was worse because we went there when I was a kid. Atlantic City didn't start until they didn't build the first casino in Atlantic City, I don't think, until the 70s.
I think you're right.
Yeah. There. So,
but the whole was is
yeah, right.
Obviously, you haven't walked a block off the boardwalk because it's
yeah,
still is.
I know. It's pretty bad, but
it is pretty bad.
Anyway, but I mean, Vegas, you're right. The big buildup didn't happen until later on, but yeah. Anyway.
So that was just my little gambling story there. I thought that was kind of interesting.
All they do when they make laws like that is they send the gambling underground. They don't stop anything.
Yeah, people are still going to do it.
Right. That's right. That's just like that's all they're doing is they're going to make it go underground.
Right. So. And they'll just do more. They'll just do more.
Yeah, that's all gun laws have ever done in the United States. Right. Create. You know. These sales that go on behind.
That's all global warming laws have ever done. Oh, right. Yeah, I still got to get rid of the hazardous stuff and burn things. So,
right.
You know, I'm just going to do it under doors,
yeah.
Underground.
The government needs to get out of people's lives.
I agree with that 138%. So I can't see the clock, Ken.
You can't see the clock?
I can't see the clock. I got
to
double check.
You want me to tell you the time?
Well, I don't know. Do I have time for another story? I guess is my thing.
Sure, go ahead. Do another story.
All right. Well, I kind of got a little.
Here's what you use for the clock, Phil. There's this little thing on the recorder that actually shows the time it's gone by. How long you've been recording?
Yeah, but I started it early because we had all those extra takes.
Oh. Okay.
which our listeners didn't know about until now. Thank
you. It was some of the best stuff.
Yeah, we
sorry you missed it.
We screwed up the beginning like four times. So we're actually an hour and a half late now by our recording time.
Yeah, and we don't want to send the message that we're amateurs because we've actually been doing this for about 7 years. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this is the first time I ever sat behind one of these boards.
Right.
But you would think that today because I'm just a bit of a mess. I have a little tidbit, and it's more of a bitch and complain than good story.
That's fair for the show.
The price of gas is killing me. On the ride in here today, I heard that gas was under $36 a barrel, crude oil.
Yeah, I can't even remember when it was that cheap.
So I went back because I've known the price of gas and stuff. For some reason, I've always followed that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I graduated high school in 91, crude oil, the national average that year was $32 a barrel, the yearly average.
Roughly the same. Mm-hmm.
The national average gas for 91 was $1.149 per gallon. Why are we at a national average of $2.05? We're not double the price. We're not at $64.
I can actually answer that question, Mr. Phil.
I'm glad you can.
Okay. There's two reasons.
Communism. Nothing.
That is one.
I need to get that clip from Smoking the Bandit.
That is one. It's because of politicians.
It is.
And the biggest piece of that is taxes.
I know.
Okay. And the other piece of it is EPA and all these additives and everything that are required now by law.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Right. Exactly. So if we were running, at that time, it was probably leaded gasoline at that price,
$1.14. Unleaded.
Did it have unleaded them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unleaded came out in the 80s, Ken.
I don't know, Phil. I go way back beyond that. So.
I know. You started driving in the 30s.
Yes. Right.
Unleaded, because all the little, like, four-cylinder cars were out then, you know, the Cavaliers, the Omnis. Aries, the Omnis, which right. I had a dozen.
Yeah,
right. Escorts.
That's right.
Yep. All those different cars were out.
Okay. So, but it's primarily taxes. It's taxes to build roads, and even though, and we build roads nonstop in this country, and they're crap.
Well, building roads really pisses me off. That's a sore topic with me.
Yeah, it's a sore topic.
Because I pay gas taxes for people to build roads.
Yep.
And then they take lanes that I could be driving a car or a truck or a motorcycle in and give it to damn bicyclists who are tax cheats.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay taxes to ride on my private roads.
Right. Oh, not only that, they take your tax money to build...
Sidewalks.
To build lanes that you're
if
not
I
allowed to use.
If I wanted to walk, I wouldn't have bought a damn car that's paying for the gas that's giving you the tax money to build.
Well, why should you have to pay to build a HOV lane that you can't use unless you have another person with you? What if you don't like anybody else?
I don't have any friends.
You pay for it. There you go.
I don't have any friends. I got no family. The only time I ever get to use the HOV lane is like if I'm stuck in a bus going to an outlawed casino. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It is horrible. So I just wanted to bitch about the price of gas because you need to just like text your congressman and be like, you guys are crooks.
Yeah, you
are. Hashtag gas prices 1990.
Yeah, right. Yeah, somebody audit the government, see what the government actually, where that money's actually going. Because,
oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah, I would love to see that too.
Because that's just not happening.
So we should basically be paying about $1.20 a gallon right now.
That's pretty much where we should be, you know? Right. And I've been saying that when it was over, like it had dropped under $75 a gallon. I mean, dollars a barrel. You know, a while ago, and I said to somebody, I said, you know, in 2004 when we were doing this, we were paying like $1.70 in gas. Why are we at $2.50?
Right.
You know, so they're just a bunch
of
crooks.
And now it's half that. You would think the price would be half that.
Right. We should be 70. When I started driving, the cheapest I ever paid for gas was 49 cents a gallon.
Okay.
And that was like in Ohio, which was like was economically depressed at the time.
Right.
But I think like, the first time I filled up my tank, and I grew up on Eastern Long Island, folks.
Yeah.
I think I paid 79 cents a gallon. Where are those days?
Well, I don't know, but here, to make you feel any better, Phil, when I first started driving,
paid you to take the gas?
I was paying 28 cents a gallon.
Wow.
I had a 1958 Ford Fairlane, and I could fill that thing from dry for $3.25.
Ken, I'm going to go out to break so I can get out of the chair and punch you in the face because that's just horrible.
Yeah,
that's great, though.
Well, it is, and what we have now isn't. But everybody always compares with Europe.
Well, did they build sidewalks back then? You didn't have HOV lanes in the 50s.
Nope, sure didn't.
Even though
it was in the 50s, but okay. Well, let you know that was 1973, so.
Yeah, you didn't have HOV lanes. You didn't have bicyclists.
No. And there was more road construction going on back then than there is nowadays.
Right. I mean, that was probably around the time they started the big dig.
Yeah, that's right. And they chipped the corners off the
the pyramids
too.
Oh, I thought they were going to made a parkway that went by the pyramids.
It's a lot easier to say yabba dabba doo when you don't have square wheels.
That is actually true. Yeah.
Welcome back to You Heard It Here on ntnradio.com.
Oh, we haven't said that
That's
yet,
right.
have we? That's
yeah,
really
so if you're picking amateurism. Pick us up somewhere else. You can find us on the NTN Radio Network. That is ntnradio.com.
Yeah, we'll probably have to get some money out of them.
Yeah, right.
That was a fun one.
Yeah, that's right. Don't hold your breath.
Yeah. Oh, good pull, because I didn't say that. I screwed that up.
So, you know, there's been all this chatter in the news for, I don't know, the last 6 months about Black Lives Matter. And cops have been getting really, really trashed. It's just not been a good year for cops.
No,
right?
It hasn't.
Well, it gets worse.
Oof.
It gets worse with this story in here. And I'm going to coin a new phrase today. You heard it here. Christmas presents matter.
Christmas presents do matter.
Christmas presents matter. You heard it here, spoken by a true good Jewish boy, okay? Hanukkah presents matter too, but this story is about Christmas presents. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I celebrate it by getting absolutely nothing and preparing for Christmas. That's what I do.
Kind of figured that.
Hanukkah is my time to prepare for Christmas. Anyway, wow. Poor Cosby getting beaten up, and another show that Phil and me are involved with, some of my favorite stories that I ever do have to do with the state of Florida, because Florida is, without a doubt, the home of the most wacky people in this country.
You know, one of the local radio stations by where I just moved to, I was listening to, and the guy's like, he started this morning with, God, I love Florida, because they got some really screwy stories down
they
there.
They do.
And he just told this little blurb out of there, and Florida's great.
Florida is great. It's a great state. But I feel bad for police officers because they've been getting so beat up this past year. And this story here is not going to make it any better for one, because a Florida police officer's wife has admitted to stealing Christmas presents from a neighbor's front porch.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's not only bad karma-wise. We talk about karma.
Right. I mean, karma's going to just get
But here's
you.
The thing. Here, message. If your spouse is a police officer, you might want to consider a different line of work.
Or at least not your neighbor's stuff.
It's okay if they're a few blocks away.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, because neighbors all talk except mine. And they'll
be right.
Like, they'll be like, hey, did you see that all my packages are gone? And be like, well, I thought Sally Joe across the street was picking them up for you, because she didn't want them sitting outside.
Right, right.
And Sally Joe is actually a real person in Florida, so if that resembles you,
I'm sure. Dana Hager, she's 42 years old, was caught by surveillance video taking away the USPS, that's the Postal Service, not the good old UPS people, packages, and then putting them in her car last Friday night in Lakeland, Florida. The homeowner, Megan Zawicki, was in the house at the time with her 2-year-old daughter. When
she stole them while they were home?
While they were home.
Balls of steel right
yes,
there. That lady got some set on her.
My husband's a cop. I can do what I want.
Shut up. I'm going to take your Christmas gift.
That's right. When Zawicki noticed a shadow past the window, she ran to her bedroom with her child to look at the surveillance tape and saw a surveillance tape. Does anybody use tape anywhere? Where's that word come from? It's not tape.
Tape was this stuff they had in the 90s.
That's right, yeah. Well, it's Christmas. You wrap your presents with tape. With her child to look at the surveillance video and saw a thief walking away with the toddler's present. So she stole from a kid on top of everything else.
You know what? I'm not a big fan of theft equaling the death penalty.
Yeah.
But I think this is a pretty good case of it.
Well,
unless she went all out, dyed her hair green, and was wearing green makeup. If she did the Grinch thing, I'm kind of okay with it.
Yeah. The woman then, Ms. Zawicki, then posted the video to Facebook.
Right. Don't call the cops. We're just going to whore you out in social media.
Exactly.
I love it.
It's exactly. Where it was viewed tens of thousands of times. And she received messages from people who said they recognized the suspect and identified her.
Recognized the girlie from the back of her head. Beastie Boys reference. Yeah.
And then one person who made contact was actually a coworker of Hager, the cop, the husband. No, not good, not good, right?
No.
I can't imagine what this poor guy's got to be thinking. I married this woman, why? She was arrested on Monday and charged with unarmed burglary of an occupied dwelling and petite theft.
Well, at least she wasn't fat. I mean, maybe she was a looker.
I never heard of a charge of petite theft.
Well, that's the difference. You know, like if you steal they measure the lettuce, that's petite theft. If you steal a steak, that's fat theft.
There you go.
Or big and tall theft.
The Polk County Sheriff, Grady Judd, told a local radio station, quote, the fact that she is the wife of a law enforcement officer is even more shocking and stupid. Hager's husband is a police sergeant in Haines City. He returned the presents in a white plastic bag in the early hours of Monday because, according to what she told the police, She started feeling bad about the theft. Yeah, it's been all over Facebook. Come on.
Right. I feel bad because I got caught.
I feel bad because I'm being tagged as being a piece of crud. Anyway, now for all this and all this bad press and everything this woman got, her husband is like, his career is probably over, right?
Yeah.
And she's now going to be known by everybody around as being a thief.
The Grinch.
Or the Grinch. Yeah, or the Grinch, right? The total value of the item she stole was only $30.
You sure it wasn't petty theft, not petite theft?
No. Well, I don't know. It could be. I like petite theft personally.
Petite theft.
Petty, I can spell. It's P-E-T-T-Y.
All right.
P-E-T-I-T. I pronounce petite.
That is petite.
Yeah, that's what it said, petite theft. Maybe that's what they have in Florida.
$30 worth of toys from a baby.
Yeah.
She needs to be in lockup where there's like 40 single moms who are like selling crack to buy that $30.
I think all the local papers should just... I wouldn't do any. I wouldn't charge her with anything. I would just put her picture in the front of every paper, local paper in the state of Florida, in here, and say, "This is the picture of somebody who's a total moron. This is what you look like when you're this stupid."
She's
for 30
totally
bucks.
Totally going to be the cover of next month's Crime Times.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever seen that newspaper?
I have actually.
That's right. We saw it on the way back from Alabama.
That's right.
Oh yeah, that's like a great. She's going to be like their bikini, but model for the cover.
Spokesmodel.
Look at the layout we got on page 6 of the Petite Theft Lady.
You too could collect 30 big ones.
Oh, dirty.
All right, let me get one more quick story before we head to break. And I'll start the story by saying this is a story that will have a bit of a twist at the end. So no comments until we get to the end.
I will shut up.
Okay, you can actually comment, but you can't actually blow the story till the end. All right. So this is why we'll never be safe from terrorism in this country, because we're stupid.
Oh, okay.
We are stupid, like people in Florida. Missouri police are investigating after at least 100 prepaid cell phones, also known as burners.
Yeah, burners.
Were purchased at 3 Walmarts during the past week.
Okay.
The FBI was contacted in at least 2 of the cases, though it's unclear if federal officials are actively involved. Quote, "It's not right. It doesn't make any sense," a witness who did not want to be identified because who buys burners? We'll talk about that in a minute. He went on to say, "Who's going to order 50 phones for Christmas? Who does that? I could give you a list of people."
Yeah.
And they have initials instead of names.
Right.
The first reported purchase happened Friday night when several men bought dozens of phones around 9:30 p.m. at a Columbia Walmart. The men paid in cash. Duh.
Okay.
Then just before 4 a.m. on Saturday, 2 men bought about 60 phones in Lebanon. That is Lebanon, Missouri, not the obvious Lebanon.
Okay.
Okay. Police were called and interviewed the men, but did not detain them. Okay. How in God's name would you not at least hold them till the FBI could interview them?
Well, because...
There is no good answer,
no,
right?
No, I got nothing.
Yeah, it's like
I was trying. I was going to be like, because you need to send somebody for coffee.
Because they had a good excuse for why they bought 60 prepaid cell phones?
Yeah.
Okay, it gets better. Here's a quote from a local sheriff's office. Quote, "These people were foreign speaking." He then went on to encourage citizens to call the cops if they observed odd activity. Quote, "You need to take notice. You need to let us know about it because it doesn't hurt to check on it. You're not being racist or anything like that. You're just protecting yourself." But then the idiots just let these guys go after buying 60 burners. The Macon County Sheriff's Office in a Wednesday Facebook posting said it's investigating a third recent suspicious purchase of multiple cell phones. It is not clear when that incident occurred or how many cell phones were bought. So, yeah, they're right on top of it, aren't they, Phil?
Yeah, I mean, good job. Well, that's like that whole terrorist thing in San Bernardino. The neighbors saw suspicious activity in the garage and never called because they didn't want to think that people she was profiling.
Right, yeah, absolutely. But then the cops have the guys and let them go. I want to know. Somebody give me a logical reason when a bunch of people who don't speak English come in and buy 60 cell phones.
And it's not Spanish.
And it's not Spanish. That's right.
You know, because then you're just giving one to each kid.
No, it was Spanish.
Oh, God. Oh, no. But, you know, you're giving them.
Wow, we just lost an entire race of people. Okay.
We'll find them
go,
again.
Phil.
I'll say something offensive about somebody else.
I'm sure you will.
No, I mean, like, it's because the same reason you think all the Spanish people ain't going to lose anymore. It's all this political correctness BS.
Uh-huh.
Because you can't hold them, because if you held those guys and you say, well, we held them because they have foreign names and don't speak English, they're going to say, you're profiling them. And they'll mm-hmm. go after the cops.
Let them. Show me a case where a group of terrorists have actually successfully sued the cops. You know? It's not known if the three purchases were related, but the Walmarts were all relatively close together. It would take a driver about an hour to go from Macon to Columbia, and then a little less than another hour to reach Lebanon. The Columbia and Lebanon purchases happened about 6 hours apart, and they're only an hour apart in drive. So now these guys are out there. They're just gone. They're gone. More than 100 of these burner phones in less than a 24-hour period.
Oregon Lotto a couple of weeks, hours before that?
Yeah, really. Whoa. Anyway. All right. Well, I had another story I wanted to do, but I think I might actually hold it. So I think what we'll do
is... hold it?
I think I'll hold it. Yeah, I can hold it for a few more minutes.
You can hold it for a few more minutes? That's good, because I was clicking the wrong mouse wondering why.
So what do you got coming up on the other side of the break, Phil?
You know, I'm not really sure. I got a little teaser. There was a Kickstarter campaign. Thank you. I couldn't remember the word.
Crowdfunding, yeah, if you don't...
Crowdfunding. That I was actually really interested in, but I didn't have the money to do. And now I see the story that I'm kind of glad I didn't. And then I got a couple other little things to throw in there. But that's new, because I wasn't planning on doing that but 10 seconds ago when it popped up on my board as I was clicking
the
wrong
mouse. That's the best stuff. That's the best stuff.
It always is. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is You Heard It Here on NTNRadio.com. That was me bringing us back. I'm like pointing at you. You're looking at your board. I'm like, oh, wait a second here. That's supposed to be me. Welcome back to You Heard It Here on NTNRadio.com.
Well, for a second there, you didn't hear it here. You heard nothing here.
You heard nothing here. Wow, I'm sorry about that. I told you, man. If the board is screwed up in the beginning of the show, it throws me off the whole rest of the show. And the worst part is this is our first show for this, so everybody's like, what are these idiots talking about?
We'll get better.
We'll get better. Maybe. No, we will. We will. I like the concept of crowdfunding. It's never worked for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it hasn't done anything for me.
I've never had anything that people thought of it was of value.
As close as I've ever gotten to crowdfunding is watching somebody that I know make money at it.
Yeah.
Right?
There was a guy who sat in this very studio who was making $35,000 in an hour crowdfunding.
Right.
But that was not us. But there was a thing, and there was all these videos, and I remember when I first started looking into crowdfunding, this was one of the ones, and everybody shared it on Facebook. It was called The Coolest. Do you remember that?
Was that the portable cooler? That
had the radio, charged your phone, made you lunch, had iTunes, internet. I mean, it had everything.
Yeah, it was going to put prostitutes out of business.
It was like, you will no longer need...
Anything. That's right.
You have the coolest. And it had the great name, The Coolest. You have a cooler? You're a cooler. I'm the coolest.
Right.
So to buy in on their Kickstarter thing, you had to buy one of the coolers, which was $499.
Oh, that was the minimum to get in?
I believe so.
Oh, wow.
They raised 13 million smackaroonies.
Oh, jeez.
Right? So, I mean, where this is headed right now, you're like, go Coolest, go It's Birthday, go Coolest. Right. But, and there's always a but. My niece and nephew watch this show, and there's this girl on it that's nicknamed Butters, because she always goes, but. so I'm going to give you my best one. But, apparently the people who funded it are kind of pissed off because they ain't got their coolers. The backers are annoyed.
Do they build a motorcycle in Alabama?
Apparently, they built a motorcycle in Alabama.
Inside joke, folks.
Yes. And the coolest, their corporate name is whatever. It doesn't really matter. But they are saying...
You got screwed.
Yeah, pretty much is. You can buy the coolest at YouGotScrewed.com. They are saying we're kind of out of the couple coolers we did build. We're short of coolers and definitely short of cash because of production issues.
They got $13 million and they... And so in other words, they can't actually make them for $400 apiece.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
You can't build. You can't have...
We spend all your money and you get squat.
I mean, the thing, if I remember correctly, and I wish I had found this earlier because then I would have watched the video, but didn't have like a blender, a sandwich maker.
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah, I had a blender. I mean, I remember
it was
that.
Like,
yeah.
It was like, wow, this could have been a Ron Popeil. If infomercials had been the thing, Ron Popeil would have been all
Yeah, it was like the Swiss Army knife of coolers.
It was, and the founder, Ryan Grepper, explained that the coolest is selling its inventory to the public to generate operating funds. So they're actually selling.
So they're broke, basically.
They're broke. They're selling the coolers they built that were supposed to go to the other people, to the public.
Oh, so they're reselling somebody else's coolers.
Yeah. So, like, if I was one of those investors and I saw somebody rolling down the street with one of those.
You'd be on the road.
I'd be hitting you with a bat, taking yeah. my cooler back. Right. Be like, that one's mine, son. Sure. I paid for it first. So this is like a nightmare. I mean, that's now, the risk you take with crowdfunding, right?
Is I guess, but isn't that like illegal to resell something that belongs to somebody else technically? They paid for it?
I'm no lawyer, but I would say, yeah, I kind of think that is.
I would think so. So these guys...
kind of loophole that through crowdfunding you're now an investor.
Why did they do that? Why didn't they just say that, you know, if you came in at a certain level, you get it? So they would have committed 100% of the money that came in to producing coolers to give people to find out that they hadn't made them, that all they had was a prototype, and they couldn't. But production issues means, yeah, production came out to mean it's costing them $400, and they can't sell it for $400 because it cost them that.
He blamed a strike at the supplier who made the blender motor.
Oh, yeah.
That
explains the delay. That doesn't explain
And there was
not
no backup
it.
Supplier. And in part, the motor specifications are so over the top to enhance durability that the testing took way longer and they went way over budget. But it's like...
Then how do they price it to begin with? They didn't know.
Right.
So when they said $400, you pay $400, you get a cooler, they had no idea what it was going to cost.
You know, when I saw that, I didn't have the $400.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought to myself, that wasn't that bad of a deal.
No, it's a decent-sized cooler.
It's a decent...
And you're getting a lot of stuff.
I have a 130-quart cooler, and I believe that was like $130 or $160 when I bought it.
With nothing.
With nothing.
Right.
Just a big white cooler.
Right.
But this one came with like an iPod dock and a phone dock and chargers.
A radio? I believe there was a radio.
There were
blender.
Speakers in it. A blender. The wheels were motorized. I don't think they were, but that would have been cool too.
Right. I think they were. Right. And I think didn't it have like a...
It had like a solar panel thing on it, right?
Yeah. Did it have like a display screen?
It had a display screen.
And I mean, it was like wired directly into like Pornhub, I think.
If that had been the case, then I probably could have found the cash.
Yeah, right.
But it brings up a couple issues. One, on crowdfunding, you can get burned.
If they
reach the budget, guys reach their budget.
Yeah, I've never read, and I don't even know if there are any disclaimers on these campaigns on crowdfunding.
Thought to look.
I wonder if it says that, you know, and whether it's no guarantee that you're ever going to get anything. If they did that, then you're screwed.
Yeah,
if they don't, and they're saying you're guaranteed you're going to get one of these units in there, they're pretty much going to be sued out of existence to begin with, and then maybe go to jail because it might be criminal.
It probably is. $13 million worth of coolers.
That's why I said, why don't you just make it so that, like, a lot of these crowdfunding things, you can come in like a $5, $10, $20, $200, $5,000, whatever, and you're only committing like, you know, maybe a T-shirt for the lower ones. Things that you know you can do. I can go out. I know I can get a T-shirt made for $10, right? So I don't have a problem if you get 50 and then you get a T-shirt. I know I'm going to be okay. But if you guarantee that your $400 is going to deliver you a cooler and you don't know what it's going to cost to make the cooler.
Big slap in the face here, too.
Mm-hmm.
The I guess they did have a lower thing. You're right. But okay. If you did that, it was $500 was to get the cooler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, never mind. I misread that. I thought it said $399. They're selling on Amazon, but it's not there. $499. I misread that.
Okay.
I was going to say, because they're $100 cheaper on Amazon, I kind of want to buy one and put up like a video, be like, hey, thank you, because I got your cooler. Bye. I didn't have to do that.
Right.
You know, Kickstarter didn't get cut of my money.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
That's just, wow.
Yeah.
That's.
I always wondered about that. You kind of always assume that when people do things on Kickstarter that they're going to deliver the final product. But you
if
know,
they just, get the funding, right.
Yeah. Certainly if they meet their numbers. If they don't meet their numbers.
Well, if we just.
There's got to be a disclaimer in there then, because what happens if you don't meet your numbers? Like on Kickstarter.
Then you don't get anything. On Kickstarter, remember?
Yeah, Kickstarter. Right, you got to reach your goal.
If you don't reach your goal.
But some of them you
it
do.
It doesn't bill you.
But some of them you do get whatever you do get, and I just wonder if there's any guarantee.
Yeah, Indiegogo or something like that.
Yeah, there's a couple of – this GoFundMe is another one. There's a bunch of them out there now. Pretty much. We need to start our own one of those.
Yeah.
That's what we should do. Go fund us. We'll call it Go Fund Us.
Come fund us.
Come fund us.
Yeah. We'll set up a website, and we promise we won't give you anything.
We'll give you
nothing. You can pay us to shut our mouths. How's
there
that?
Go. There you go.
We'll give you an hour's worth of silence.
Yeah, it's going to be expensive to get us to shut our mouths.
Yeah.
But you can get us to be quiet for a few minutes for just a small donation.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, like the cam model, like I'll flash you for 20 tokens, which is like,
no,
I don't know how many dollars.
No, I don't know
about that. Yeah. You're shaking your head. Yes, you're saying no. So I'm thinking we could do like parts of this show, be like $3 to Kickstarter and we'll shut up for the next minute.
There you go.
Yeah, I would do that. Hmm. So that was my little story on that. I kind of thought that
that's interesting. I'll be curious what to follow up with that story.
I'm,
see where
I'm
it goes.
Going to, because that's just kind of a weird one.
Mm.
That's like I said, that was something I was tracking anyways. You know, because I was like,
right.
One day those will be out there, and I'll hit Lotto.
Right.
Move to Iraq or something. That just sucks. And more American money going overseas.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
why they never give you the full amount. It's because they actually don't have that money. I don't know how they can
I think they should tickets. I think they should have a law on that one, that if you win the lottery and you're from Iraq, that money goes to a soldier whose family lost them in Iraq.
I agree with that. Yeah. My other story that I kind of want to get into. Oh, damn it. Damn me to hell.
You're hearing music right now.
That is the music that says we have to go.
No more time.
I was going to start another story, but we don't have time. So, damn it to hell.
We'll be back. We will be back shortly.
Yeah, we will be back Tuesday. Looks like Tuesdays and Fridays.
Or something
like
that.
We're working on some time.
We're working on our schedule, but we'll be putting these up regularly.
Thank you for listening, folks. We'll be back next week.